Joshua chapter 2 this evening, and I want to read the first 11 verses here. Let's start here in verse number 1. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were, that is, I know not where they are or were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. And she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we are able to gather together tonight. I thank you for the Word of God.
Amen.
I thank you for the lessons that we can learn from it. Lord, I thank you that it explains to each and every one of us how it is that we can be saved. And Lord, I pray that as I preach this message tonight, that if there are some here that aren't saved, even amongst our children, that the Spirit of God would do a work in their heart and mind, would make them aware of their own sinful condition, and make them aware of how much you love them in sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for them in their place. And Lord, in faith, might they call upon the Lord and ask him to save them. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, encourage us tonight by what we see of Rahab. And Lord, help us to be people that not only believe you in regards to the subject of salvation, but Lord, may we believe everything that you say, and may our lives demonstrate that as well. So God, use the word tonight as it goes forth. Bless it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. For some time now, I've been preaching a series of messages on the subject of salvation. Most recently, we looked at Deuteronomy chapter number 18, where it identifies that prophet.
Amen.
And within the context there, we saw that God strictly forbid Israel to use any form of divination, enchantment, necromancers, I like to say that word, and it lists a number of different people, but it all refers to some type of sorcery, some form of finding out secret truth, sometimes from summoning the dead, supposedly. And God, he forbid the people of Israel to perform any of those types of activities. And those were the types of things that the people of Canaan did on a regular basis. And yet God says in that particular chapter that his means of communicating with his people was prophets.
Amen.
It was not diviners. It was not necromancers. It was prophets. And God, in that chapter, promised to raise up a prophet like unto Moses. And God said that this prophet would speak unto them, the people of Israel, all that he commanded him. And they were to listen to that prophet. And if they failed to listen to that prophet, they were going to suffer the consequences. And Jesus, as we understand now, was the fulfillment of that prophet.
Amen.
He came and He spoke the Word of God. And if we do not listen to what He had to say, we too will suffer the consequences. The Bible says that if those in the Old Testament did not receive the message that came to them from God by the means of prophets, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that was proclaimed unto us by the Lord Himself? But tonight I want to take a look at Rahab and how a harlot got saved. There are four passages of Scripture, four main passages of Scripture that reference Rahab, and I want to look at each one of them tonight in reverse order. Those passages include Joshua chapter 2, Joshua chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 11, and James chapter 2. And I want to start then in James chapter number 2. If you would, turn there with me. We have turned to this chapter previously in our series of messages on salvation when we were examining Abraham. And I know we looked at Abraham at least in two different occasions. I think it was three, now that I think about it, because Genesis chapter 12 gives Abraham the promise, "In thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed." And the New Testament comments on that verse and says that within that verse is the gospel, because it was referencing Jesus Christ coming through the loins of Abraham. And then in Genesis chapter 15, it makes this statement in verse 6, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness." And it's that particular text that brought us previously to James chapter 2. And because that particular phrase is referenced and expounded upon in three places in the New Testament, that verse is quoted in Romans 4, where the Holy Spirit gives to us an example, an illustration of saving faith. And the example, the illustration that's given is the man Abraham.
Yes, sir.
And Romans chapter 4 points back to that statement in the book of Genesis and says, how is it that Abraham was saved? What's the Bible say about Abraham? How was he saved? And I'm paraphrasing that, but that's basically what Romans chapter 4 says. And then it quotes the book of Genesis. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. All he did was believe God. He didn't perform any good works. He was saved, declared righteous by God, solely on the basis of his faith in God and his word. In Galatians chapter 3, that verse is quoted again as the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, tries to deter the Galatian believers from embracing a false gospel.
Yeah, right.
And in order to demonstrate to them the true gospel, he quotes that verse in the book of Genesis. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. The law hadn't even been given. And so for the people of Galatia to believe that they were saved through their works was folly. And then, here in James chapter 2, that verse in regards to Abraham is quoted again. And it's quoted to demonstrate that Abraham's faith was a faith that was genuine. Since we've looked at the chapter previously, I probably don't need to go down through all of it, but I will just highlight a couple of verses here for you. In verse number 17, it says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone." A genuine faith produces works.
Yes, sir.
And Abraham demonstrated his faith in God whenever he willingly offered up his son Isaac. It demonstrated that his belief was more than just words. He believed God. But Abraham is not the only individual that is used by God to demonstrate that genuine faith produces works. Because towards the end of this chapter, it also references Rahab. And in verse 25, it says, likewise, just like Abraham's faith was demonstrated by his works, so was Rahab's. Notice, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, which refers to the spies, and had sent them out another way. She sent them out secretly so they wouldn't be caught by the king and his servants. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. In other words, Rahab demonstrated her faith in God by hiding the messengers or the spies. Just like Abraham demonstrated his faith in God by offering up his son Isaac. This was her mighty deed. As we look at all the different passages that reference Rahab, you know what we'll find? It always speaks of how she hid the spies. That was her great work. And when I come to the end of this message, I want to try to emphasize to you why that was such a great work, if you want to call it that. Why did she hide the spies? But turn with me to the book of Hebrews. It also references Rahab. She's the last individual, I believe, that's referenced along with what she did by faith. In verse 30 of Hebrews 11, and I think most of us realize that this is the Hall of Faith chapter, as we call it, because it lists to us all the things that old-time men and women of God did by faith. And it says by faith in verse 30, the walls of Jericho fell down after they compassed about 7 days. And we'll see here in just a moment that that's what the people of Israel did there in the book of Joshua. They circled the city walls for 7 days. And as a result of their faith, the walls fell down. Because God told them, I want you to go to the city of Jericho. I want 7 priests to lead you. And they're to circle the city once every day for 6 days. And then on the 7th day, they're to circle the city 7 times. And then they're to blow the 7 trumpets. And when they blow the 7 trumpets, the people are to give a shout. And when the people give a shout, the walls are just going to fall down. And that may have seemed silly to some people, but the people of Israel believed God. It was an act of faith. They did what God told them to do, and as a result, those huge walls of the city of Jericho fell down. But then notice verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. You see, when those walls fell, the people of Israel attacked, and they killed every human being within the city. They utterly destroyed the city of Jericho, and there was only one woman along with her family that was spared, and that was Rahab. And it says that she was spared because she had received the spies with peace. Then turn back then to the book of Joshua. Let's look first at chapter number 6. Chapter number 6. Beginning at verse 17. It says, in this city, the city of Jericho, shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Again, this is making preparation for the people of Israel circling the city of Jericho. And the instructions are given that everybody is to be killed except Rahab. And Rahab's life is to be spared because she received and hid the spies from the king when he sought them out. In verse number 22 of this chapter, it says, but Joshua had said unto the 2 men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. Go and bring this woman out as you promised to protect her. And then I want you to read one more verse, verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelled in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. All three of these verses I just read emphasize the fact that Rahab hid the spies, and as a result, her life was spared. And then turn back to chapter 2. We read part of these verses, but pick back up with me in verse number 8. It says, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, Rahab to the messengers, the spies. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. And do you realize that this took place 40 years prior?
Right.
I don't know how old Rahab was, but because of her profession, I'm prone to believe she was younger. Maybe not, but I just think that she must have been younger, probably under 40 years old. But she had heard how God had brought the people of Israel out of Egypt. She had witnessed, or perhaps also heard, how that God had more recently delivered Sihon and Og and their countries into the hands of Israel as they approached the land of Canaan. And at least in Rahab's mind, she didn't feel that her city was safe. And I understand this was a city that was surrounded by a huge wall. If God didn't intervene, the people of Israel would never have been able to defeat the people of Jericho. They wouldn't have gotten in the city without the help and the assistance of God. But though it was difficult to believe that the city of Jericho could ever be overtaken, Rahab believed that that's what was about to happen. Because as I think about Rahab the harlot, I always ask myself the question, why did she hide the spies? Here these messengers, these strangers, came into her city. She knew that they were of the people of Israel. And she took and she hid them from the presence of the king and his servants. And again, this had to be hard for her, because this was an unpatriotic act. I mean, she was acting against the welfare of her people. No doubt what she did was highly unpopular. I mean, the king, he came looking for the spies not because he wanted to receive them and protect them and give them a 7-course meal. He wanted to kill them.
Right.
And so did his servants. And Rahab, as she did this was extremely risky for her. Potentially dangerous. It could have meant the death of not only herself, but of her mother and her father and her brothers and her sisters. But she believed God. And she believed by hiding the spies, she could protect herself and she could protect her family. And what were the consequences of her faith in God? Her life was spared. It says here her mother's life was spared. Her father's life was spared. Her brothers' lives were spared. Her sisters' lives were spared. All that she had, verse 13 says.
Right.
Was spared. Why? Because of one simple act of faith. One simple act of faith. She just believed God.
Amen. Right. Amen.
You know, sometimes I think it's hard for people to believe God. is hard for people. Because to believe God today is not popular. It puts you out of step with our culture. When you don't embrace pluralistic ideas, that is, that there's multiple ways that lead to God. When you're not tolerant of other people's religious beliefs, and by tolerant I mean embrace them as equally valid, you're considered strange, archaic, unintelligent, and a number of other things. I can only imagine what some of you that go to the public schools have to face being Christians. I don't know how you dress when you go to public schools, but if you dress with any amount of modesty today, you're probably ridiculed for it. I know what young people like to talk about. They want to talk about things of a sexual nature. They want to tell dirty jokes. They want to be rebellious towards mom and dad and other authority figures. And you know what? I'm sure that makes some of you very, very uncomfortable. To the point that you may just want to capitulate, just give in, just quit and say, this is just not worth it. I'm an oddball. And I don't like not fitting in. And I just encourage you, if you'll stay true and believe God, one day it will all be worth it.
Amen.
Amen. Yes,
yes, sir.
Rahab's faith was not only the result of her life being spared, but her family's. Her family's. Do you ever think about that? That
come on, preacher.
Your walk with God and you staying true to Him may lead to other people in your family getting saved? Yeah, sometimes it's hard to just believe God. Sometimes it's hard to be like Moses and to choose, you know, to suffer affliction with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yeah, it's hard. Sure is. I won't lie to you and tell you any different either.
Right. That's right. Good.
It's very hard sometimes
yeah.
to walk with the Lord and to believe God when it seems all the world's against you. It's rough not fitting in. It's rough for me sometimes. It's really not that rough anymore. But occasionally I get to feeling sorry for myself. Because I just don't fit in places. I don't share the same interests that people out in the world do.
Yeah.
I'm just very, very, very slightly interested in who won the football game a few minutes ago.
Right. Yeah, amen.
But there are some people that they're either crying right now
right.
or they're celebrating. Because life to them is the Colts win. I left Friday and I say, man, I'm hoping the Colts win so y'all be happy Monday.
Right.
But I don't know that much about football. I don't care that much about football.
Right.
Tim does. He cares about that. I don't care about that. So I'm like, what do I talk to these people about? If we talk to the Bible, sometimes they don't last very long.
Yeah.
Because some people don't like what the Bible has to say.
You're right.
Some people don't believe it.
Yeah.
I was talking this week, and they'll remember everything that led up to the conversation, but of course they turned to me to get some input and feedback, you know, about dating and finding a spouse. So I explained, I said, we do things very different in my house. We taught our children from the time that they were little bitty to rely on mom and dad and God to bring them a spouse into their lives. They don't play the dating game, it just sets them up for divorce. And
right.
talked about some other things, just falling asleep and serving God and waiting for Him to bring the right person into your life. And I said, I realize these things are foreign to people. I said, but I really believe the Bible.
Amen. Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, I don't just say that. I try to look at the principles and the precepts and the precedents that are found there, and I try to incorporate them into my life. I'm not perfect at it, but I try to do that. And while the Bible doesn't mandate that we go about finding a spouse this way, I think it's a better alternative than what the world offers.
That's right.
And so I'm talking about these things, you know, excited to talk about spiritual things. Someone says, well, that's all fine and great for you. But I don't believe the Bible, they said. I have a hard time believing a book that was written by men. That's what they said. And I said, but the Bible says it wasn't written by
men. Yeah, man. That's right.
He says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. That's what that word inspired means. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, man.
Right.
Yes, sir.
I tell you what, if the Bible was only written by men, those were some of the smartest men ever. They were, because they knew me up and down, left and right, and every which way. Not only that, they knew somehow, before the inventions of the telescope and the space shuttle, that the earth sat out there and hung on nothing.
Because
that's what the Bible says. They knew the stars were without number. Before scientific advancements. They knew about DNA. Not in those terms, but it talks about that, I believe, in the book of Psalms.
That's right.
No, this book wasn't written by just men.
That's right. Amen.
God used men to write it.
Right. Sure.
But these are His words. And we have a choice whether or not we're going to believe them. When Rahab was given that choice, she chose something different than the rest of her city. She says, I'm going to choose to believe God. I'm going to align myself with Him. Because I believe that's a place of safety. But the rest of the people said, no. We're going to close up the gates. We're going to put bars on the windows. And those Jews, they ain't coming in. And we know the end result. They all died. One lady, along with her family, was spared. And it was Rahab. And she was spared simply because she believed God. It's not very deep tonight, is it?
It's good.
You just believe God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Amen.
Do you believe God? Do you believe God when it's hard to believe God? You know, if you will, like Rahab, you'll find that you'll be blessed.
That's right. Amen.
It may be unpopular, may be unpatriotic. Evidently, it's unpatriotic to say Americans need to repent, but they do.
Right.
It may be potentially dangerous for you to believe God. You may be risking family relationships. You may be risking your job. You may be risking wealth. Moses risked all that. And he did lose his wealth. He did lose his popularity, his position, his job. He lost just about everything he had in this world to go and to suffer reproach with the people of God. But I think Moses would say to every one of us that it was worth it.
Amen.
Here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10 it says, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You know, what is the record that God gave of his Son? And many people say, I don't believe it. Well, you're making God a liar.
That's right. That's right, preacher. That's right.
It doesn't matter whether or not we believe the Bible. The Bible's true.
Amen. That's right.
The people of Jericho didn't believe it. They just put up barriers in hopes that God's word would not come to pass. But it came to pass.
Amen.
It goes on to say, and this is the record that God gave, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son.
Yes, sir.
And notice this next verse with one syllable words. Supposedly the King James Bible is real hard to understand. But this verse surely isn't. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's very simple. You have the Son. Is He your Savior? If so, you're saved. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? If you believe God, have you called upon Him and asked Him to save you? Because he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes. That's it.
Do you have the Son? Are you saved? Do you believe God? Do you believe Him enough to come forward during the invitation tonight and say, preacher, I've been playing games with God and I truly want to be saved. I want to call upon the Lord to save me because I believe if I will, He will indeed save
right.
me.
Yes.
It may seem hard to believe God sometimes, but the results of doing so make it all worth it. Rahab was put in the genealogy, the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ because of her faith. Here, a harlot.
Come on, preacher.
Get saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes it's hard for those that grow up in church to get saved. I guess because they think they're good enough. But none of us are good enough.
No, sir.
We're all sinners.
Yeah.
Rahab. She hid the spies. Why? Because she believed God. We don't see visibly or even in words Rahab getting saved. We just see the results. We know she believed God. How do we know that? She hid the spies. How do people know you believe God?
That's right. Yes, there is.
How can they know that you really believe God? Well, you're at church on Sunday. That's a good start. They see you with your Bible reading it. They see you before you eat, pray. They see you pass out tracts. They see you love your neighbor, love the brethren.
Right, right.
They see you live a separated life. They see you, young people, and that you don't date. I mean, I could go on and on forever.
Mm-hmm.
But just make sure you're demonstrating to the world that you truly believe God by your actions.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. Thank you for the many things that we can learn from the life of Rahab. And thank you for recording these things for us in the Word of God. And Lord, I pray tonight that the Spirit of God would impress upon our hearts and minds the need to believe you. Lord, if there are some here tonight that aren't saved, convict them of their sin. Bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May they call upon the Lord. Call upon you and ask you to save them. That their home in heaven could be secure. And God, help us like Rahab as we go about living our lives day to day to live them in a manner that people could see that we believe you. So bless the message as it has went forth. Use it for thy glory. Use it for the benefit of thy people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.